When you wish upon a star, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that keeps its feet on the ground but reaches for the stars. And now, letting sleeping dogs lie, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy. My second favorite day of the month is when my pest control guy shows up, and he's outside right now. Go Pest in somewhere in the Phoenix area, 623-680-3931, owned by Gilbert Ochoa. He's been an excellent killer of all creepy crawlies in my neck of the woods for years. So I'm happy to see his hired hand come in and start spreading the poison around, lights the place up, and leaves a string of dead bodies all over the place. I don't actually know that for a fact. I'm just assuming. But anyway, good morning, people. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Doug Jones. And let me tear myself away from my happy thoughts of dead pests to welcome you to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We are here to help you make that transition from Medicare or from Obamacare to Medicare. And I do that. The tool I use most effectively for that is my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, easiest and simplest guide ever. Might be the simplest and easiest guide. I forget which it is. I haven't looked at it lately. But in any event, we are happy to have you join our podcast that is based on my book. And it's a beautiful day in Arizona, just the perfect day to listen to our 30-second radio spot that Randy helped me construct, oh, those many months ago when we had nothing to offer a radio station. So, Randy, take it away, if you would.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's a cogent explanation of what we're all about, why we're here. And in fact, the last time we were here, Randy was having difficulty maintaining the quality of his voice. He was all germed up, as they say. He had some sort of disease that I think he's gotten over for the most part. He sounds a lot more strong and healthy today. Randy, how are things going for you?
I feel like $1 million, all green and wrinkled.
No, yeah. Well, there you go. You look like you came right out of my wallet.
Yeah, exactly. There's really nothing like a bunch of sweaty money out of a wallet that's all wrinkled up. It makes you feel like you got something really valuable.
Yeah, it's been around the block a few times, and it made it to your pocket. And by golly, you're going to watch how you spend it carefully, I assume.
Which is a lot better than if you get fresh bills. They don't even look real.
Oh, the last time I had my Corvette gas tank worked on. No, this was a gas tank for the Nomad, the 57 Nomad that I'm putting together. And I drove it up to Rockford, Illinois, to a company that was going to change it or modify it into an internal fuel pump, electric fuel pump, and make it suitable for fuel injection. And so I took it to him, gave it, and I pulled out my wallet. He said, it's a lot cheaper if you pay cash. And so I pulled out my wallet and started counting out $100 bills, and he found two of them stuck together and returned one to me. I gave him an extra $100. And that made me aware that I have to be very careful with newish money.
Well, I have that problem quite often. All my $100 bills stuck together in my billfold. But it has anything to do with them being new. It was because I printed them up yesterday.
Oh, there you go. You should hang them up on the clothesline for a day or two.
Yeah, it makes them look better. And
the other thing is, you're not going to have them that long anyway. You've got three young grandchildren, so
I know.
They're going to get siphoned out of your wallet sooner rather than later.
I discovered just the other day that, you know, the bill part of your wallet.
Yep.
There's actually just an empty hole in the bottom now. So when I put it in the top, uh-huh, the bills come right out the bottom.
And is it like Mr. Bill? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. No, Mr. Bill. No, no. It's really a sight to see, because I don't know how you are, but I get really attached to my billfold.
Well, sure. I get more attached to the contents.
Well, that too. But I've had one of my billfolds that I had the original billfold, you know, that I had when I was in high school, but
sure,
not quite that bad, but right, pretty close.
Yep. Well, good for you. That's showing excellent use of your money. You're not throwing it away on new billfolds or whatever's fashionable or whatever. Once they get into your pocket, who cares what they look like?
Well, exactly that. And the other thing is, I thought I was going to be really fancy for a while and used a money clip.
Yes.
That didn't work out.
Why is that?
Because I didn't have any money to clip in it. So it didn't make it look worthwhile.
Well, I got to see, that's hits close to home, because I changed to a money clip a year or two ago, but I don't feel like fancy. I just feel like it was thinner in my pocket. It forced me to clean house instead of having a big fat wallet that kind of strains the stitching on my jeans pocket. I've got a money clip that's a lot thinner now.
Yeah. So, well,
it wasn't because I wanted to be fancy.
Well, in my case, I thought, you know, I want something hefty in my pocket to feel like I've got something. So I changed out all my bills for quarters. So now I carry just a big bag of quarters in my pocket so I can feel like I got really something going here.
That's going to be helpful if anybody ever attacks you in a parking lot. You can just beat them to death with the quarters.
That's right. Now, it may take me a little bit of time to get my pants off, but, you know, that'll probably scare them away. Before I ever get to them with the quarters, that'll probably scare them off. Just the preliminary.
Yeah, I would think so. What are you doing? Just give me your dough.
No, please don't do that. Oh,
there's a process. There's a process for this. You just be patient, Mr. Rubber. Oh boy.
You're jumping the gun here, man. Yeah. Let me ask for the money first.
Yeah. Let this play out, sir. You're going to be, you're going to find a reward at the end of the rainbow here. Well, anyway, so it's probably time for us to get after it. Wouldn't you think, or not?
Well, back in the Midwest, we used to say, let's get after it. So, yeah, we definitely need to get after it. All and right. Later towards the last part, you know, we are going to use another Larry the Cable Guy expression of get her done.
All righty. We'll do both of those things today. First subject of today, maybe the only subject today, if I can make it understandable so it doesn't slide by too quickly, is learning more about enrollment periods, Medicare enrollment periods. A lot of people that contact me are fairly new to the Medicare process, and they ask me if they're making the right decision about when they need to enroll in Medicare. And often my answer is always the same. Do it when, you know, before you turn 65, or you can wait way after age 65 if you're continuing to be gainfully employed, or if you're married to somebody who is gainfully employed, you're protected against the consequences of a late enrollment. But for people who are looking for the proper times to enroll in Medicare, then I've got an article here that says Medicare enrollment. When can I apply for Medicare Part B? Now, Medicare Part B is actually the most important part of Medicare. Medicare Part A will take care of inpatient expenses, hospital bills, and other types of, medical expenses that occur when you are in a nursing home or in a hospital or locked up somewhere. Medicare Part B covers the expenses that occur when you are outpatient. In other words, these would be regular doctor's visits or doctor's visits as a result of a dire medical condition that you've come down with, or any other, you know, like medical testing and things like that, anything that occurs as a general rule when you're not inpatient in a hospital. And so that makes Part B. The part of Medicare that you're likely to come into contact with most frequently. The other thing is Medicare Part B has a premium, and it's going to be like $170. And I had to wave at my pest control guy who was giving me the thumbs up. He says, I think I've killed everything in sight. So he's apparently going to go away now. Anyway, so Medicare Part B carries a monthly premium of about $170.10 starting in 22. And therefore, it's important that you not sign up for it too early and waste the money that you would pay for that premium. And it's important that you not sign up too late, because if you miss the open window for enrollment, you're going to have to prove that you're in good health. Plus, you'll have to wait a few months, most likely, before you're allowed to participate in Medicare Part B. So this article, which was written last year, almost exactly a year ago, says original Medicare, the government-sponsored health insurance program, includes Medicare Part A, hospital insurance, like I just told you, and Medicare Part B, medical insurance. I don't know why they call it medical insurance. The whole thing is medical insurance. But because Medicare Part B typically comes with a monthly premium, some beneficiaries delay enrollment in Part B. For example, if they have health coverage through employment, and they may want to enroll in Part B later on. So Medicare Part B enrollment, sometimes automatic, sometimes not. U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents of at least five continuous years, not contiguous, people who have been in the country for 5 years may be eligible for Medicare coverage. You're usually enrolled in Medicare Part A and Part B automatically when you turn 65 or qualify by disability at any age. And if you receive the Social Security Administration or Railroad Retirement Board benefits. For details about how you qualify for automatic enrollment, look for a different article entitled Medicare Enrollment. This is a hot link that I can't click on it for you. So you're on your own as far as researching that. You are not automatically enrolled in Medicare Part B in all situations. Here are a few examples of when you may qualify for Part B, but you need to sign up manually. One is if you live in Puerto Rico, you're typically signed up for Medicare Part A automatically when you turn 65, if you're collecting SSA or Railroad Retirement Board benefits. However, you need to sign up for Part B manually. Here's another example. If you have end-stage renal disease, which is a type of kidney failure, regardless of your age, you may qualify for Medicare, but you generally have to apply manually. Another example, if you're not receiving Social Security or Railroad Retirement Board benefits when you turn 65, if you want to enroll in Medicare Part B, you need to sign up for it. And that means go online and sign up for it. You can sign up for Medicare Part B during the following enrollment periods. The initial enrollment period for Part B starts when you're first eligible for Medicare. Your initial enrollment period typically starts 3 months before you turn 65, includes your birth month, and lasts for 3 months after your birth month. That's a total of 7 months. And if you're under age 65 and disabled, you generally qualify for Medicare after receiving Social Security or certain disability benefits from the Railroad Retirement Board for 24 months. In this case, your seven-month initial enrollment period goes from the start of your 22nd month until the end of your 28th month of receiving disability benefits. If you sign up for Medicare Part B during your IEP, your initial enrollment period, you will not face a Part B late enrollment penalty. The general enrollment period runs from January 1st to March 31st of each year. You may enroll in Medicare Part B coverage then if you're eligible. If you enroll in Part B during the general enrollment period, it'll be effective July 1st of that year. You may have to pay a late enrollment penalty. Your Part B premium may go up 10% for each year that you could have had Medicare Part B but did not sign up for it. If you didn't take Medicare Part B when you were first eligible because you or your spouse were working and had group health plan coverage through your employer or union, you can add Medicare Part B coverage during a special enrollment period. You can sign up during the following periods under the Part B special enrollment period. One is while you're still covered by the employer or union group health plan. Another is during the 8 months following the month the employer or union group health plan coverage ends, or when the employment ends, whichever is first. Well, that's a pretty awkward way of stating it, that you know that you're probably going to leave your employer at some point when your retirement looms. So the thing to do is, if you've put off enrolling in Part B because you were covered by your employer health plan and either you or your spouse were working, you know, they were actively enrolled or actively at work and covered by the employer health plan, then you kind of know ahead of time that I'm going to retire at the end of the year. So you tell Medicare, okay, I want to enroll in Medicare Part B, say at the end of the year when I'm going to retire. And then you call your agent, who I hope is me, and you tell your agent, I'm going to retire and enroll in Medicare to begin on such and such a date. And I would like a Medicare supplement to start at the same time. What's that going to cost me? And then, of course, I show you all the options that I offer for Medicare supplements. And that will all occur ahead of time. There's no reason to worry about the way it's stated in this article that you have to do it right at the end of that period. Always do it ahead of time. Give everybody a little lead time. Now, I have another single page that states the same information in a slightly different way. It may be less confusing to tell you when you can enroll in Medicare. So, outside of the open enrollment period, they call it open enrollment. Most people in the insurance business call it AEP, which is annual election period. That runs from October 15th to December 7th. In fact, we're coming to the end of the 2021 AEP as I speak. So outside of open enrollment or AEP, you can enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan or a drug plan or make changes to. Yeah, Randy's shaking his head. No, don't listen to this. Doug, why are you saying this to the poor people that are maybe fooled into a Medicare Advantage plan? Well, I'm just telling you that if that's the best thing for you, which is highly unusual, then this is one of the times that you can enroll in a drug plan and a Medicare Advantage plan. Now, your initial enrollment period is the time that most people first address their Medicare enrollment. And that's going to happen during that 7 month period I told you about a few minutes ago. That starts 3 months before the month in which you turn 65. It includes the month in which you turn 65, and it ends 3 months after the month you turn 65. Now, two factors about this. One is if your birthday is on the first of the month, move everything forward by a month. I don't know why that is. Nobody knows. But your 3 months would start before the month ahead of your 65th birthday. Your birth month would turn out to be the month ahead of your 65th birthday month. And then you would have 3 months after that. You've still got a 7 month period, but if your birthday is on the first of a month, everything shifts ahead 1 month sooner, closer to your date of birth. So that is just an oddity about the system. And also, you don't have to worry about enrolling in Medicare if you don't want to, if you or your spouse are actively at work and covered by the employer's health insurance plan. Now, there's a special enrollment period for various reasons that occurs kind of whenever your event happens. You may be able to join, switch, or drop your Medicare Advantage plan, Randy's going to shake his head again, and drug coverage when certain events happen in your life, like if you move or if you lose other insurance coverage. Rules about when you can make changes and the types of changes you can make are different for each special enrollment period. And there's a whole lengthy list. This is why insurance agents are trained to help you, to advise you, of whether or not you've got a bona fide special enrollment period that's going to allow you to make some changes in your coverage. Now, there is also a new period of enrollment availability that started because so many people are unhappy with their Medicare Advantage plans that the government decided to give people, and Randy's nodding his head, yes, the government said, we got to give people an additional period of flexibility to get out of the crapola that they have enrolled in and maybe enroll in different crapola that they might not hate so much. So they established a what they call a Medicare Advantage open enrollment period that goes from January 1st to March 31st each year. And here are the changes you can make during that Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. If you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, either with or without drug coverage, you can switch to another Medicare Advantage plan with or without drug coverage. You also can drop your Medicare Advantage plan and return to original Medicare. Remember, when you have Medicare Advantage, they take away Medicare, and the insurance company that gives you your Medicare Advantage plan covers the stuff. It's supposed to be actuarially equivalent to Medicare, but you might decide that they're not doing a very good job for you. It's hard to find doctors in their limited network, or any number of reasons that I list in my book. I list 10 reasons that you might be profoundly unhappy with your Medicare Advantage plan. And so anyway, if you decide I want to go back to regular Medicare Parts A and B and then apply to an insurance company for a Medicare supplement plan, you can drop your Medicare Advantage plan during the first 3 months of the year, each year. That's January 1st to March 31st. Then it says if you are enrolled in a Medicare Advantage plan during your initial enrollment period, you can change to another Medicare Advantage plan with or without drug coverage, or go back to original Medicare with or without a drug plan within the first 3 months you have Medicare. That's a new one on me. I had not heard that at all. And then it talks about the general enrollment period. If you did not enroll in a plan during your initial enrollment period, and you don't qualify for a special enrollment period, you can enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan or a drug plan. Boy, I wish they'd tell us more about Medicare supplements. But anyway, you can enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan or a drug plan from January 1st to March 31st each year, but your coverage will not start until July 1st of that year if you're late, and you may have to pay higher hospital Part A and or medical Part B premiums for a late enrollment. So beware. You should talk to, if this is confusing, and I can understand why it would be, then what you should do is talk to an agent like me about your enrollment options so that you don't make the mistake of missing a deadline and having to wait for coverage or pay more for coverage later on. So I know that the talk of Medicare Advantage plans probably hurt your head, Randy. I'm sorry.
I thought I had a headache before. Now I've really got a headache. But I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
I know you've covered this before, but I just can't seem to keep it straight because Medicare is not one of my specialties, as you might imagine.
Even if it were, it's hard to keep this stuff straight. I understand.
Okay. So this is somewhat phrased in the context of a stump the insurance expert. But
oh boy, I'm going to get stumped again. Ooh.
So let's say that, somebody, I really, really made a mistake, mm-hmm. and I bought myself a Medicare disadvantage plan.
Ooh, ouch.
And let's say for some strange reason, it worked out reasonably well for me for a number of years. Then I decided this is really the reason it's called Part C is because it's crap.
Yeah.
But then I decided I really need to move off, back to the real deal, original Medicare Parts A and B, and right. get myself a supplement. Do there I still have one opportunity to do that? Let's say I put up with the crap for 5 years. Can I still move back?
No. Not without asking or answering health insurance, not without answering health history questions. But the good news here is those questions are fairly benign. They say things like, within the last 2 years, have you been hospitalized? Have you been fed through a tube? That sort of thing. So it's not like, how many push-ups can you do? Anything less than 50 and we won't accept you. So it's a fairly benign questionnaire. But the deal is that if you realize the crapola you were enrolled in within the first 12 months, then you would have a guaranteed issue period to move into a Medicare supplement. But once 12 months have gone by, they figure, okay, you're not a genius. And so we're not going to reward you. But you can enroll in a Medicare supplement plan, which we consider to be superior coverage, if you jump through the hoops the insurance company is allowed to ask you to jump through. Now, there are four states where I think there are no hoops to jump through, and it's very loose, and you can get into a Medicare supplement plan or change Medicare supplement plans without any negative consequences. But those are four states. The other states have given the insurance company the ability to make sure that you measure up, that you're not a walking time bomb, that you're not a claim waiting to happen.
There's a like an aneurysm sticking out the back of your head.
Yeah. They don't want to take on that risk. They'd rather have you be healthy. And then what they're designed for is to cover you if you have a predictable lifespan. In other words, out of every million people, a certain number are going to have very expensive medical problems and the rest are not going to. And so the insurance companies are set up to make that prediction. But if you're already down the path of hugely expensive medical problems, that's abnormal. That's not something they predicted. And so they're allowed to say, well, you know, you're just, they measure risk and you're too risky.
Yeah. So they look at it and they go, well, you know, we'd love to help you, but.
Yeah, and that's a big but, because if you're in dire straits, you can't qualify for a Medicare supplement plan. You don't get the best coverage available. And that's what we try to do, is we get people to start out with Medicare supplement. You can always, every year, you have the opportunity to go to a Medicare Advantage plan if you want to. But if you start out with a Medicare supplement, you don't ever have to ask or answer any health questions. And if you've chosen wisely, you have a plan that will be cost effective and will provide great benefits at the same time. And you can keep that plan the rest of your life. It doesn't change on you. It stays the same from one year to the next. So that's why I always tell people, start out with a Medicare supplement. You know, later on, if you've got, if you're bedazzled by William Shatner or Joe Namath, you know, then you can change. No harm, no foul. So
Jimmy J.J. Walker, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like the way he and Joe went to the the low rent school of acting, where they hold their elbows next to their sides and they fling their arms around. They remind me of Tyrannosaurus Rex dinosaurs with the little front legs and the giant back legs.
Yeah. And the other thing is if you really like the concept of a Medicare disadvantage plan.
Yeah.
Go to Vegas, go to the nearest casino, take all your money in a bag and then put it somewhere on the table and go, this is going to come back to me in many fold.
Right. You can put it on a craps table and let the croupier decide where your bets should go. And then you can kiss that money goodbye, but that's
probably
very close to the real life situation of buying the first Medicare Advantage plan that comes your way. It's got shortcomings, but the salesperson isn't going to tell you about those. You won't find out until it's kind of too late.
Pay no attention to that man behind the screen.
Right. Yeah. There's a price to pay for that.
I did learn something new this week.
What was that?
You sell insurance. You know that?
I do. Because yesterday I got a questionnaire from somebody who said, look, I want to buy insurance. What do I do? Do I just call up? Do I get the phone book out? I don't know what century this person lives in, but they just wanted to know how to find an insurance agent. And I was happy to say, you just found one.
I had a phone book, I was using it to prop up one of my desk legs here.
Well, here in Cave Creek, we've had phone books that have very artistic and attractive renderings of cowgirls on them.
Ah.
You remember those?
No.
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to show you, because I saved a lot of the covers there. They're dressed up like Johnny Ringo's Jeep drivers.
You know. Oh, okay.
They're like, residents of the Old West with modern modern clothing taste. You know, it's all... Well,
nothing wrong with that.
High class cowboy accoutrement.
There you go. Well, you know something? I just wanted to remind everybody, you know, earlier, as I said, Doug sells insurance, and you could not do yourself a better turn than to use him as your agent. He's been in this business so long that he's forgotten more than most of the new agents ever knew to begin with. So definitely trust him with your insurance needs. Call him up, write him a letter in the mailbag, which is TBJ at mail. One more time.
MLMmailbag.com. DBJ are my initials at MLMmailbag.com.
That's a tongue twister for me for some reason.
Yeah, but you made it up. You went and acquired it. So I had to learn how to say it without twisting my tongue.
And you've done a much better job than I.
Well, you know, you're coming off the Wuhan flu. You know, remember about a year ago, you were starting to go down the path to hospitalization and the flu, the fog, the Wuhan flu fog.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So anyway, I just want to say thank you to everybody. Go to Amazon. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Buy yourself a series of books written by Doug Jones, and they can be auditory, they can be audibles, they can be electronic, they can be on paper, they can be black and white, they can be color, they can be anything.
You can buy the series, but you really only have to buy one. You can take your pick if you want. Randy's exuberant about selling books, but in reality, you don't have to use all of your disposable income buying all the books up. Although they make excellent stocking stuffers, they're, you know, good Christmas presents for people. So keep that in mind. You might have some people on your Christmas list that are approaching Medicare age and need some additional knowledge.
Yeah. And they're very good. They're very good for stocking stuffers. I personally, I don't ever get any because Doug won't allot me any. But
well, when I told you could have as many as you wanted, they had to back the truck up at your house. So I had to ask you to be careful, more careful in the future about how many you give away.
Which I don't have one because I always do give them away. So well, thank you everyone for joining us. Doug is a great guy and ultimately the best insurance agent you could ever possibly, do business with.
All right. But all right. I'm tired of blushing enough.
Okay. Enough. All right. I will land the plane.
Please do. But thank you for joining us.
Yeah. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma and the new latest and greatest CEO, CIO, COO, CFO, and every other O for Medicare for the Lazy Man.com.
Bye-bye.